I like you, I like you, even when I don't try to. Yes, I do, that's the truth. I like you, do, but I die
What you are hearing is Amante, who is a Claim Your Campus student council member, singing on Instagram. And now, I asked him why he chose to post this particular post. And he said he did it out of boredom, but he likes to sing, he is very multi-talented, and he likes to use social media to display those talents. Social media. It affects all of us whether we like it or not. It's not a fad or a trend that will eventually go away like acid wash jeans and jelly shoes, like Jeff used to wear. Our research says that around 80% of students use it on a regular basis. So we thought, what if we could get inside the minds of students to hear directly from them about what they think of it, how they use it, how it is affecting their world, their culture, our world, our culture. So that's what we're going to do today, take a journey inside the minds of students. We'll look at what thousands had to say in our research and then hear directly from four high school students in an interview we did with them.
I'm Jeff Eckert.
I'm Jason Brewer, and this is The Thought Factory. I am recording, and so I'm going to just have you state your name and grade.
My name is Zoe, and I'm a junior in high school.
All right. Zoe, when did you get a smartphone?
I got a smartphone the summer before my sophomore year.
And how much are phones prevalent when you are hanging out with your friends?
The prevalence of phones kind of changes depending on the situation. Like if we're at like a restaurant or something, normally everyone puts their phones in the middle of the table or something. But if we're at someone's house or some sort of other situation, everyone is normally like on their phones or while talking to each other.
Do you think that phones are too intrusive into you and your friends' lives?
I don't think that phones are too intrusive because most of the time when we're on the phones, we're like still interacting with each other and showing each other things that are on them. It's not really bothersome for us to be on our phones because everyone has gotten better at multitasking and being able to pay attention to multiple things at once. On social media, I am mostly observational and don't really put out much of my own content.
So how much do you think students plan when they post?
For me personally, I don't like plan that much when I post things. If I think that this is like a good thing to post, then I just post it like without much thought. But some people will spend a lot of time focusing on like a caption or the exact wording of stuff, which sometimes I spend mostly like 5 minutes maybe on a caption.
Do you know a lot of students who don't use social media?
Some of my friends, like during the school year, will delete their social media apps except for like on weekends or something so that when they're trying to focus on doing homework and things, there's not a distraction of their phones all the time.
So we started on this topic thinking we were just going to do one episode. And as we got into it more, we realized that we needed to do more. In fact, we think, as of right now, this would be a 3-part series. So on this episode, we're going to go at the angle of hearing what students have to say, their perspective in our research and in the interviews that you did, which are amazing, by the way.
Well, thank you. Well, I know the next episode, we're probably going to hear from two completely opposing views on social media. One from a college professor who has many years of research and is an author on the subject. And then another from a lead singer of one of the most popular Christian bands of all time, at least according to Jeff, who has a different approach.
And man, you're really going after me. The jelly shoes. Yeah, okay. Well,
you're
we'll
just
see.
A little outdated, I think.
Jellies are great, man. Some of you are like, what are jelly shoes? Can you eat them? No.
Mm.
And the last episode that we're thinking about is pulling it all together, but asking how do we help students redeem social media as a tool for good? And we're going to get into some guidelines. One of the things we've realized as you look around, students are really on their own. They're trying to figure this out. And as we're hearing from them, I think what I'm hearing between the lines is they want us to help provide some guidelines. And so as youth workers, as parents, we're going to get into some specifics and some ideas about how to create and help create guidelines for students. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, like I said, it's not a fad or a trend, so it's not going to go away. It just kind of appeared on the scene, and students now, they've existed as long as social media has existed. So it's become a part of their world, their life. But there hasn't really been any real true good guidelines for students to navigate through social media. And so we're just kind of letting them at it. And, you know, we see results that are negative and positive, but we want to help youth leaders, parents, navigate with them for social media and their students. Which app do you use the most?
I use Instagram and Twitter the most.
Do you think that phones are too intrusive into you and your friends' lives?
Yeah. I would think that they are, just because in the waiting times or when they are using their phones, it's wasting opportunities for us to talk or grow our relationship. But I think it's even more so with my family because I use my phone way more around them when I'm with them than my friends. And I think that's much more of an issue for me and some of my peers. And so I'd say that's probably more of an issue than with our friends.
Now, what is your interaction with social media? Is it more observational or do you post a lot?
It's much more observational. I post usually on Instagram about once a month or even less than that. I think that for me, it is between my pictures that I post and how many likes they get. And it's not compared to other people usually. It's just I notice this type of picture gets more likes than this other picture that I post. And so, I do feel like that is, I don't know if I'd say important, but like that's relevant to me. And I try to get my posts with more likes.
Do you find it effective to use social media as a way to talk about God and the gospel?
I think it can be effective to get information out there or to get information out to a lot of people at once, but it's much more effective to talk to the person in person. Because if I ask someone in person compared to if I posted something on Instagram to come to my church, it's much more effective if I ask them in person.
Well, let's look at some of the data and some of the research that we found. We're asking some questions like how many students have a smartphone? At what age does the typical student get a phone?
Or how much time do they spend on their phones? What is the top go-to apps for the students? You may not be surprised. From our research, we have found that 82% of students have a smartphone, which correlates to more of the national research as well. Like those stats are pretty similar, that 80%+ of students have a smartphone.
Not really surprising. Probably all maybe would have guessed a number close to that. That's probably about what I thought if I were to be asked. And I think when I hear that number, one of the things I think about is, what about students that don't have smartphones? There's only a handful, according to one of my daughters. Like everybody in the world has a smartphone but her. She's in middle school. But what do we do with those who don't? And the idea that we shouldn't assume that everybody has one because they don't. 1 out of 5 students don't have one. And how do we not make them feel left out or inferior because they don't have a phone?
Well, we have found that 48% of students have smartphones by the time they are in middle school. And so it's about half by middle school.
Yeah. And so from a very young age, realizing that once they get into middle school, half of students get them then. So a good majority have them. Meaning that in this time of their life when they're asking so many questions, Google has become the ultimate answer to every question that students ask. It's become sex education for them, a fact checker, their guide for life. But as youth workers, as parents, even though they're going to their phones, they're going online to find all these answers, it still is not their best counselor or their best option for the relational outlets in their life. And we want to keep that in the forefront of this idea and discussion, that as we talk about social media more and we get into that, there are relational benefits, there are good things, but it's not their best option. Relationships are still the most important things that matter, and that's what we want to keep on the forefront.
Man, I think about the Google becoming the answer to all and how students can get so trapped into things that they shouldn't be looking at, shouldn't be exposed to, just by simply being curious and going, well, I'm not going to ask my parents about it. I'm going to go to Google because I know Google will give me an answer. And then all of a sudden they're exposed to so many things. I've heard a number of stories where even that is the first time exposure to pornography or images of that are gruesome because of something that is innocent in the minds of a student. And then they go to Google, type it up, and all of a sudden it's exposed to them by just hitting images.
Yeah, so most students getting those phones, smartphones, between ages 12 and 14, which, like you're saying, Jason, is such a young, impressionable age. And along with the fact that middle school are one of the most tumultuous times in our lifetime. As people look back, they often say, middle school years were my worst. So you combine those two things, it could be a little weird.
We also know that by high school, by the time they enter high school, 81% already have a smartphone. And even the students that I talked to, it was at least by the time that they were freshmen in high school that they remember getting a smartphone. And really, like, what other type of phone would you get if you're going to be getting a phone? Like, why would you go and get a flip phone or a corded phone, you know, for your room?
Did you just say corded? You're making fun of me for jelly shoes, and you just said corded phone.
I knew you would understand.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I know you switched to the cordless phone.
I did, yeah, just recently.
Yeah.
It's great.
So obviously, having a phone, being on the phone, it may not just be voice communication, but we asked the question, how much time daily are they spending on their phones? And we got a response of 62% say that they are on their phones 3 to 5 hours a day. That's almost 2 out of 3 students say a good chunk of their day is spent on their phones.
And what we're hearing, and this, again, probably is no surprise, we hear from students in the interviews, and we maybe know it just from our real-life experience, is that their default way to spend time together and by themselves is just to go to their phone. It's become the natural, you know, expression of what do I do when there's a spare second in my life. I pick up my phone, I start checking things out.
Another question that we asked these students was, what's their number one go-to app? What we have found, it may be surprising to you, it may not be surprising to you, is the number one go-to app for 37% of students is Snapchat. And then I guess what's more surprising when we look at these stats is that Twitter and Facebook is not even 1 or 2, which I think we knew for some time. But Instagram is the second go-to app for students at 27%.
Yeah, what surprised me was the fact that what's the number one go-to app? 8% of students said Facebook and 6% said Twitter. So Facebook edged out Twitter in like the most used or go-to app, which surprised me.
And I know that from what we have found, when we look at the research and the data goes across the country at different areas of the country, different pockets of students, we have found that they may be interacting with Instagram, but also Twitter, but it may be Snapchat and Facebook. And so there's a combination where certain parts of the country interact socially differently on different platforms.
Yeah, what we've heard from students in talking to them around the country is that there seems to be almost a little rivalry between Twitter and Instagram, where some schools, their culture is more driven by Twitter and how they communicate with each other, and some is more driven by Instagram. So it depends on where you live, but obviously we know those are very used apps, but Snapchat is the number one.
Now, looking at Snapchat, it's probably the most, the most recent social media platform that has come out where it's the newest, it is what youth are interacting with. And so the question is Snapchat bad?
Yeah, that's the ongoing debate. And I know people on both sides that work with students and in parents and in that those networks where trying to come up with this idea of how do we navigate with students in trying to talk to them about that. And I think what's important to remember about social media is that it's an extension of the person. So however you are as a person, that's going to extend out and show itself on your social media profile and the things that you're saying and how you're interacting. So it can be a scapegoat. Social media is one of those things that people look at, especially with students, and they say, you know, it's they just throw it all out and go, it's bad, or Snapchat in and of itself is bad. And if you know the founding of Snapchat, it's easy to look at that and think, well, it was seems to be designed kind of for evil purposes or very shady purposes. But again, the idea is, how do we redeem it? Obviously, students are using it. And let's really bore down into the, not the symptom. I think social media can be the symptom when we're thinking about live people, but especially students in this podcast, in this discussion. So the real issue, the real problems are, if someone's negative, critical, and hateful, those aren't social media problems. Those are personal problems that we need to get to. And social media just helps us understand and reveal that about someone else.
Hey guys, this is Joshua Liggins, former youth pastor, now current school teacher in South Florida. Hey, this is for parents. If you're a parent and you're seriously looking for ways to help your child mature into faith, please consider partnering with Never the Same. From their Bible engagement series to their nationwide MTS camps, these guys are absolute trailblazers for growing students in the faith. Check them out.
Phones are pretty prevalent when I'm hanging out with friends. We're usually always on them, together showing each other things like, oh, look at this Snapchat, or did you see that tweet? I thought it was really funny. But sometimes if we go out to dinner or like we're playing games or something, we'll say, okay, everybody put your phones away. Like whoever gets on their phone first, like has to do a dare, or like we'll incorporate it in like a game. If everyone is on their phone, we'll kind of look up and say, okay, we're spending a little too much time. We're not really interacting. Like we're together, but we're not communicating or enjoying our time together. We're just on our cell phones, or like occasionally we'll show each other something that's on them. Sometimes I do think that phones are a little too intrusive in our lives. I personally spend a lot of time on my phone and on social media, and I think that I could definitely dedicate that time to something better. But I respect social media and the fact that it connects us. Like it allows me to talk to people that I don't normally see or live in different states or cities or even countries if I desire to. And it just allows us to communicate more often. I think that social media gets a bad rap, mostly when talking about young people and how much we're on it or how much it's involved in our lives. But I do think it is a useful tool for us to really connect with one another and connect with people that we wouldn't with normally, or to spread a message that we think should be spread. And like using it as a platform to get the word out about something that's important to us.
So what kinds of posts are students generating? What are they talking about? What are they liking? What motivates them to do these posts? Let's look at some data and find out.
Yeah, our data is saying only 5% are posting cause-driven content.
And so this idea that posting something about a cause they believe in, that's obviously a huge trend in our world today. And what we found in our research is that that's not really showing up a whole lot yet on social media. But the question we've been asking is, will that be a trend? Are students going to go more that way in taking what's happening in the world and ideas and trends and causes that they believe in and start to post about them more?
Would one of their posts be, hey, I just bought a t-shirt for this cause?
It could be. Hey, I'm wearing jelly shoes. They're awesome. I really think we should all start wearing those again.
Hey, I am advocating for acid wash jeans to come back.
Now, I saw a youth pastor just this week, no joke, that had acid wash jeans on. So we should ask her, because maybe those are making a comeback.
I saw a man today when we went to lunch wearing acid wash jeans, and I don't know how influential he is in his community, but I too recognize that somebody else out there in the world is wearing these types of jeans, and I'm not sure if that is appropriate.
Well, I think it'd be a great cause on social media. We're going to talk about how to engage students in causes more in another episode, particularly in thinking about their faith. How do we connect students' faith with their social media presence?
Amante, when did you get a smartphone?
I got my first smartphone about 4 years ago. It was my birthday, and I had good memories of my porch. So my mom bought me my first smartphone. A few weeks ago, I dropped my phone and broke it. And I, like, freaked out because, I mean, my phone had my grades on it. It had my schedule for the next few days on it. It had what homework I was supposed to do on it. You know, it had notes on it. I mean, I take notes on my phone for church. I mean, my phone, you know, has a lot of important things in it. And I think that I think it's too big of a part in our lot, in students' lives nowadays, and that I don't think it's necessarily a problem, but I think it can be a problem. There is a link between the likes that I receive and the self-esteem, because I personally would delete a picture or a tweet if it didn't get 110 or more likes on it, you know. But now it's to the point where, like, I'm getting better at it, you know. And I haven't deleted a picture because of the likes, but I only delete things now if it's something stupid that I posted or something that I should have done. But, I mean, it used to be a problem, you know. I used to would delete it, you know, or evaluate it based off the likes that I received. But now I don't look too much into that anymore. You know, I like to use social media to tell people how good God really is, and I like to use it to just tell people what I'm thinking about or how I'm feeling. Like last night, I posted something that said, pray for me, because I was feeling, you know, kind of in the dumps, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just use social media I use it a lot for that side of things. I think that social media can be a two-headed monster. I think it can be used in a lot of good ways, but I think it's also powerful in a lot of terrible ways. Where I'm from, a lot of people use social media to down on their friends or to down on each other or to down on themselves, you know. But I think as a generation, I think that we need to watch out for how we allow social media to affect us and how we allow it to take us over, because, as I was saying earlier, I think that it affects how we interact with each other and with other people. And I think that we're not doing a good job as a generation of learning just simple principles of talking to other people and socializing with other people, because we're too used to using social media. And I've heard a lot of older people say, well, back in my day, you know, I didn't have no Instagram or no telephone, and we had to know how to talk to each other. And I think, I mean, that's kind of funny, but I think what they're saying is true. But also, like, there's a lot of people that use it to say, hey, I'm having a good day. Or a lot of people use it to talk about Jesus, or a lot of people use it to promote events or parties that are going on. So I think it can be a two-headed monster.
Now, one of the things that we talked about off the air, off record, is something where we are assuming 100% of students use social media. We are just assuming that it's ingrained in who they are. It is like they are plugged into their phone or their computer, and every thought goes onto social media sites. But we have found that 18% don't use social media. Or we have found that social media may get turned off for a period of time. And we found that to be a pretty good number, a significant number of 1 in 5 students are saying, yeah, social media exists, but I'm not on there.
And I've wondered if that too might be a number, a percentage that might grow over time. Like we said, we don't see a day anywhere in the near future where social media is going to go away. It's something that's a part of the fabric of our society. But as youth workers, particularly if you're a youth worker listening to this, the question to think about is, what do we do with those who don't use it? Because in youth ministry, a lot of times that's our primary communication tool. It's ways we're getting information out. I know texting and social media messaging is getting to students. And that's one of the challenges I think that we have to face, is to think 18%, about 1 out of 5 or so of our students aren't on social media at all. And so what do we do to kind of engage those students as well?
Do we even encourage them to increase that number from 18% to 25% to 30% to 50%? Is that something that is possible? Is is it something that's worth pursuing when we think social media may have this grip in our lives and it's consuming our time, and we find it to be that way for us adults as well, where we can be scrolling and scrolling, and then 2 hours later you're going, what did I just do? And besides look at hundreds of people's posts and you go, why am I wasting my time on this? And what's the purpose overall of social media if we're spending time on something of just looking or interacting with and commenting? Is that something that we want to pursue and say, we want to encourage students to be less and less on social media? I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer would be, but it makes me think of an adult leader that mentioned a conversation that she had with her small group and about social media and how it is their world. It is a part of their identity. It is something that they spend a lot of their time in, yet it is very stressful and it makes them anxious the majority of the time when they're comparing themselves to other people, when they look at the glamorous stuff that they see with their friends, or they are recognizing that they are without what another person has. It makes them anxious. It makes them stressed. Is that a good thing? Is that something that we're like, yeah, okay, well, I know it's part of your world, but keep being stressed and anxious about it.
Yeah, I'll be curious in the next episode when we hear from one of our guests. And I'll be really interested to see what he has to say about this, because he's a very pretty well-known person that's just taken the road totally away from social media. And it's pretty shocking how he's doing it. So I can't wait to hear about that. You know, like you're saying, Jason, when you think about students that, for example, are deleting posts because they don't get enough likes, and that issue of pride coming in, like, well, I'm not going to have something in my record or on my feed that isn't well-liked enough, so I'm going to remove it. Those are all things that factor into the everyday lives and thinking of students and what's important to them and where they're getting their worth from, the amount of likes, from the amount of interaction and the time they're spending on that. So those are all things to consider when we work with students that social media has become such a massive part of not just our lives, but how we think about ourselves and others.
Based on some of the interviews that we had, it's not so much the picture on Instagram that they spend time on. It's the what are they going to say about this picture that they have to think. It's really critical to get the words right and say it eloquently and make people laugh at it just so that other people can thumbs up it.
Yeah. So we ask those students, you know, how much, you know, what's your thought process? So 41% are saying it's pretty random what I put out there. And then we're asking them, how much time are you putting into that? By saying an overwhelming majority, 70%, are saying I put significant time into it. We took those two stats of what they're putting out there and the amount of time, and it brought us to believe that they're thinking about things just at the moment, and they're not maybe thinking as much about the big picture. Now, we know students dedicate some of their social media identities for certain themes or ideas, and they kind of stick around that. But what we found is most 40% just kind of throw it out randomly, and yet 70% of students, when they ask, they're putting a significant amount of time into those random posts. So they're coming up with the captions, they're asking their friends, what can I say, what clever caption or new way can I say this to catch people's attention? And so, again, we're finding out it's a thing where it's causing them to spend a lot of their time every day and just not just posting, but thinking about what they're going to post from this random thing that they're talking about. We believe that social media affords students an incredible opportunity to use their life for good.
Like we said before, social media is not the problem. We can criticize it all we want, but it's really an extension of who a person is. And when working alongside students, let's remember that social media is the top of the iceberg of a person's life. We need to go deeper beyond the symptom to the root of a person's heart if we really want to see it changed.